Morning. Today's daf in Nedarim is daf Yud Tes. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is long as Echmish Masliba Gabriela Bar Shmuel. We are in the very top of Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Three quarters of today's daf is dedicated to a very simple question. The question is simple. The answers are not going to be simple, but the question is very simple, and that is that there's a mission in Nedarim and there's a mission to Aros. Mishnah Taharos we have no familiarity with. In other words, from a Daf Yomi perspective, the Daf doesn't learn Seder Taharos. So one of the Mishnayos in Seder Taharos is called Taharos. So in the fourth paragraph of Seder Taharos, so the Mishnah there teaches us that Stam Nazir Slahakel, that if I have a question about a Nazir, meaning a person made some form of Nazirus and it was not clear whether or not he is in fact or not a Nazir, so the Mishnah in Taharos says that if we don't know, so we're going to be Mekel. The problem is that we have our Mishnah, the Mishnah in Nedarim, in the Mishnah, the second paragraph of Nedarim, which was in yesterday's Daf, the opening of the Amud Beis, is that Stam Nedarim Lahachmer, that if by making a neder it's not clear what you said, so we're going to be machmer. Now the Mishnah gave a whole number of examples of what this means. So just to look back at the Mishnah, and just to give one example, right? The person says Harei alai kebasa maliach, right? You see this cake in front of me. This cake in front of me is going to be like salted meat. Okay. He didn't say the word carbon. He didn't say that he was talking about a carbon. But typically, carbon is salted meat. But he didn't say carbon. He said salt and meat. So did he mean carbon? So that's not clear. So our Mishnah taught us, Safek Nedarim Lahachmir, that we're going to err on the side of caution and we're going to say that his neder is in fact in place. That's our Mishnah. And so the problem is that there's a stira between Mishnayos. Our Mishnah Nedarim says, Stam Nedarim Lahachmir. The Mishnah in Tahara says, Stam Nezirus Lahakel. That's the problem. So for three quarters of today, Yutesamad Aleph and half of Yutesamad Beis, so we're going to be responding to this question. There are going to be, just as a summary statement, even though we haven't started yet, there are going to be three shitas amongst the Amoraim in terms of how to resolve it. Every resolution is basically going to result in Tzemachlokis Tanaim. It's just a question now, over the next, I would say like 30 minutes, it's just a question now of which Tanaim are arguing and why are they arguing. That's going to be the bulk of today's learning. And then the end of today, we're just going to be, the end of today's shir, we're going to just be resolving another stira in the Mishnah, but when we get to that bridge, we'll cross it. In the meantime, that's the question. Let's take a look at answer number one, proposal number one. So we're going to go back to the Gemara on Yud Ches Amud Beis, just to start from the beginning of the discussion. So the Gemara presents the problem, and the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Zera, Lokasha, Ha Rabbi Lazar, Ha Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay, so we'll resolve the stira in the following manner. It's Machlokas Tanaim, and it's a Machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim, and the Gemara says, Detanya. And first of all, let's introduce ourselves to this Machlokas. So we're going to learn this Machlokas, and we're going to apply it to the stira between the Mishnayos. Detanya Maktish Chayasa Vehemta. Let's say you have a flock of animals, and either they're either of your flock, you declare that your wild animals are going to belong to the Beis HaMikdash. And by the way, when you do that, so obviously those animals are not going to be offered as a carbon, because carbonists do not come from wild animals. What's the Beis HaMikdash going to do with those animals? They're going to sell it. And all that revenue is going to be applied towards the Beis HaMikdash, temple upkeep. Okay, but anyway. Or let's say you're a Makdash, you're a behemoth. Okay, and so your domesticated animals are going to be now have Kedusha. Either way. What if in your flock you have a koi? Koi is a animal which we don't know if it's a behemoth or if it's a chaya. It's a suffix. So what happens to that koi? Does it get dragged along in your hektesh? So the Tanakhama says yes. So Tanakhama says hektesh is a koi. So the koi becomes kadosh. And Rabbi Lazar Omer lo hektesh is a koi. And Rabbi Lazar says no, it doesn't. In other words, you are maktish, you're behemoth. The koi doesn't get included. So now the Gemara says, Manda amra mamona mayla sveka gufanami ma'ayol. So here we go. So the one that says that your mamon gets included in a suffix, so do you. Meaning, in the case of the koi, so that's a suffix. And yet it gets included in your statement. That's reflective of our Mishnah. Meaning the Tanakhama's opinion by koi is going to be our Mishnah. Suffik Nedarim Lahachmir. And Manda Amra Mamun Lamayo Lasveka Gufe Kolshekein Delamayo. On the other hand, Rabbi Lazar says by the halach, by the brace of koi, that when you're Maktish, either your behemoth or your chaya, so your koy is not get included. Why? Because it's a suffix. And when you make a statement, the only things that are included in your statement are definitive things, but anything which is a suffix is not included in your statement. And that's as it relates to your monetary assets. As it relates to yourself, well, if you don't want your money to be included in a suffix, you certainly don't want yourself, your body, to be included in a suffix as well. And so therefore, that would be the opinion of Rebbe Lazar, which would also be the Mishnah Taharas. This is Rebbe Zera's presentation of how to resolve the problem. I'm Eli Abai, so there's going to be a number of challenges to this position of Rebbe Zera. So let's begin. We're now on the very top of Yitzchak and Aleph. So I'm Eli Abai, B'mahu Kim Tala Suffik Nezeros La'akul K'Rebbe Lazar. So you're telling me that the Mishnah Taharas is going like Rebbe Lazar. Okay, Omer's Ema Seifa. So the Gemara says, so here's what you need to do. Go back to the Mishnah Taharas and keep reading. And the Mishnah continues to say the following. Suffik B'chor Zecha B'chor Yadu V'echa B'chor Behema Bein Tamea Bein Tahora Hamotzi Mechaver Ela V'raya. Let's say you have Suffik B'chor. Okay, Suffik B'chor, so we know that your firstborn humans, your firstborn kosher animals, and even your firstborn donkey all need to be given to the Kohen, okay, or redeemed in the case of Suffik Behema Tameya. But either way, they all are invested with Kedusha. What if it's a Suffik? So as a simple example, the Rana over here gives an example. Let's say the twins came out, a boy and a girl, and we don't know which one came out first. Okay, just as a simple example of a Suffik Bechor. So what happens in the case of Suffik Bechor? This is the same Mishnah Taharos. So, Echa Bechor Yadam, Echa Bechor Behema, Bein Temeya, Bein Tahara, Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. So, the halacha is that the Kohen knocks on your door and says, hey, I heard you had a Bechor born in your flock. And you say to the Kohen, it's a Suffik. So you're trying to extract money out of me, you're trying to extract the Bechor out of me, we don't know if it's a Bechor. And we have a general principle when it comes to money. You want to take money out of my hands? Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. You need to absolutely know that it's a Bechor, and if you don't, you can't take it away from me. Good. That's the Mishnah Taharos. But let's go on. Utani Allah. On this Mishnah Taharos, we have the following Braisa. Asurim Begizah V'Avoda. Even though the Kohen cannot extract it out of your hands, because that's a monetary law, and he cannot take it away from you, but this Suffik Bechor is invested with Kedusha. And how do I know that? Also Begizah V'Avoda. You can't shear the animal, you cannot work the animal, you're going to treat it like a carbon. It's going to be an oddity. It's a Bechor that's not given to a Kohen. Okay, meaning we don't know if it's really a Bechor. It's a serious possibility that it's a Bechor. Kohen can't take it out of me because of the principle of Motzi Mechaver Olav Araya. On the other hand, I have to treat it with Kedusha. But what do you see from this Mishnah? You see from this Mishnah that if it's a case of Safek, we're going to be Machmir. Now, let's think about this Mishnah and Taharos for just a moment. Without getting involved now with this Mishnah and Taharos in our discussion, just think about the Mishnah and Taharos in of itself. Mishnah and Taharos is confusing, isn't it? Because the opening line of the Mishnah and Taharos is Suffik Nazir Slahakal. That when it comes to a person who may be a Nazir, made a declarative statement which is not clear whether he is or is not a Nazir, so we're going to be Mekal. And then, in that same Mishnah and Taharos, the Mishnah says that if it's a Suffik Bechor, so go. Again, the Kohen can't take it out of your hands, but that's a monetary issue. But in terms of the status of the animal, that animal is going to have Kedusha. You cannot do Giza Vavada with that animal. So if you think about it, even before we take this Mishnah and Taharos and apply it to our discussion, really, the Mishnah of itself is confusing, isn't it? The first part of the Mishnah tells us that by a Suffik we could be Mekel. The second part of the Mishnah is telling us that by a Suffik we're going to be Machmir. So the Ran says, yeah, but without our discussion, we would have been fine with that Mishnah Taharos. Why? Because in the case of Nazir, what's a Suffik going on? You, the person. In the case of Bechor, what's a Suffik going on? Your property, your possessions. So without our discussion, the Ran says, here's what we would have said. It's very simple. That if it's a question of you becoming a Nazir, and you made an ambiguous statement, so you're not gonna enter into a Suffik. Fine. But when it comes to your property and your possessions, so there, if it's a Suffik, so we will be Machmir. So we could have made that very simple distinction between the first half of the Mishnah and the second half of the Mishnah. But here's where now the Mishnah becomes a problem. Because remember, what Rebbe Zera tried to do is say, oh, you know that Mishnah Taharos is going like Rebbe Lazar. Rabbi Elazar does not make a distinction between you and your property. Because where do we know Rabbi Elazar? We know him by the case of Koi. The case of Koi is that you have a Koi amongst your flock, and you are Makdish either Behema or you are Makdish Chaya. So Rabbi Elazar says, that Koi is not going to be Kadosh. That's going not on you, that's going on your property. And there is going to be Mekel. So once we're trying to say that this Mishnah Taurus is going like Rabbi Elazar, now we're stuck. Because Rabbi Elazar does not make a distinction between you, the person, and your property. So but here Rabbi Zera says, I'm still going to defend my position. Because that Mishnah Taharos, you think that's a problem? It's not a problem. The Mishnah Taharos is not talking about any type of Kedusha. It's talking about Kedusha's Bechor. What's unique about Kedusha's Bechor? That's me'eleha. That happens on its own. That's not you investing Kedusha. That's just simply a function of the firstborn animal is going to become Kadosh. And so therefore, there, if it's me'ela, so then we have to be machmir by a suffek. But if you're investing the Kedusha, you can make the argument that you're only investing Kedusha in something which is a vadai, not something which is a suffek. So the Gemara says, right at this juncture, the Gemara right now is still defending the approach of Rabbi Zera. Again, let's set ourselves up. Mishnah Darim says, our Mishnah says, Stam Nadarim Lahakmir. The Mishnah Tara says, Suffik Naziros Lahakel. Right now, Rabbi Zera's approach is that our Mishnah is going like the Tanakama. The Mishnah in Taharus is going like Rabbi Eliezer. And that's what we have right now. So the Gemara says, Ikasha Hakash, Ella Ikasha Hakash. The Gemara says, okay. As of right now, Rabbi Zera's answer is defendable. But we have the following. Suffik mashkin li tamei, tamei. Latamei acherim, tahor div Rabbi Meir. Tubas mashkin. Okay, liquids. Are liquids susceptible to tuma? So today is not going to be the day we get into the world of tuma tahara. It's funny, the Gemara Pesachim, daf yates. That's where the Gemara launches into a very intense discussion of tuma tahara. That's the famous sugya Rabbi Chanina, Skana Kohanim. And so it happens to be that we're on daf yates as well today in the Nedarim. Okay, so if you want to start making connections, I mean, not the daf, just to help you remember. I think it's pretty much a coincidence that's both daf yates. But anyway, we're not launching into a lengthy discussion of tuma tahara today, but just to know the basics. And that is that, as we're going to see in just a moment, does mashkin do liquids, are they susceptible to tuma? We're not talking about heksha right now. We're not talking about the liquids coming into contact with the food so that the food now is susceptible to tuma. We're talking about the liquids themselves becoming susceptible to tuma. So, as we'll see in just a moment, it's a machlokus whether or not liquids on a Torah level are in fact susceptible to tuma. We're going to see in just a moment that at least according to Rav, liquids on a d'oraisa level are not susceptible to tuma at all. Okay. And there are other shitas, meaning that, and others disagree and say that no, on a Torah level, liquids are susceptible to tuma. Okay, so, and we'll get to that point in just a moment. But right now, just to read this braisa, suffik mashkin li tamei tamei. Let's say somebody who's tamei may or may not have touched mashkin. He may or may not have come into contact with a liquid. We don't know. So Rabbi Meir rules in this braisa, the liquid is tamei. Meaning we're going to be machmir and a suffik. Letamei acherim. Now, if the liquids themselves are tamei, and now it's a question of them transmitting tuma to another item, and it's a safek, so they are tahor, there we're going to be lenient, and there we're going to say it's tahor. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the opinion of Meir. And now here's the part, just give me a moment, and here's the part to highlight. V'chein haya Rabbi Eliezer omer kidvarav. Not only is this the opinion of Rabbi Meir, but it's also the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer as well. He also agrees that in the case of Suffolk Tuma, we're going to be, by Mashkin, we're going to be Machmir. So now, here's the problem. We have a Mishnah Taharos that says Suffolk Nazir Slahakal. We also have a statement by Rabbi Elazar regarding the Koi that says that we're going to be Mekel by the case of Koi. And so what Rabbi Zer wanted to do is say that, good, we have a Shita Rabbi Eliezer. What is the Shita Rabbi Eliezer? By Suffolk, we're going to be Mekel. Mekel by you, yourself. Mekel by your property. Anytime we have a Suffolk, we're going to be Mekel. And meanwhile, we have this case of Tumas Mashkin, where Rabbi Eliezer, in conjunction with Rabbi Meir, both are in agreement that if you have a case of Suffolk Mashkin, we're going to be Machmir. So, it now pokes a hole in Rabbi Zera's answer.
Is there, in terms of
Yes, the answer right now is yes. Correct. Let's keep other variables out of the discussion just to follow along right now with the flow of the Gemara.
The first was the selfish mashkin was made up by Meir, right?
Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Eliezer. And they're both going to be machmer.
That's for the rabbi, right?
Wait, just wait 1 second. Okay, Hedy, just give me a moment. I'm going to clarify that point. I'm purposely right now leaving that point out of the discussion. We'll get to that point. So the Gemara says, well, that's interesting because if we're talking about Tumas Mashkin and we're talking about the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, Gemara says, I'll tell you this: I never even thought that Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that Mashkin become Tame on a Daraisa level. Consider the following. The Hatanya Rabbi Lazar Amen to Masal Mashkin Kalikar. Rabbi Lazar makes a statement which seems pretty clear, and that is Ain Tuma La Mashkin Kalikar. There is no Tuma as it relates to liquids at all. Period. Teda, and the Gemara says, and furthermore, just to make sure that you should know, Sharehe Yossi Ben Yoezer is Shreda, because Yossi Ben Yoezer it testified the following: Al Ail Kamsa Dachain, a particular grasshopper that they were familiar with. The grasshopper's name was Ail Kamsa Dachain. That's kosher. Okay, that's point number one, not related to our discussion. Just in other words, the two testimonies came together, so we get a bonus for today. So this particular grasshopper is kosher. The Al Mashkin basement Bechaya Dachain, and any liquid in the Azara is not susceptible to tumah. Now, let me give a little bit of background over here. As we're going to see in just a moment, we know that there are many mishnayos and throughout Shas, we know that liquid is susceptible to tumah. What we're arguing right now, at least within the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, is that all that's true not on a d'oraisa level. All that is true only on a d'rabbanan level. Okay, and meaning, and there are psukim in the Torah that seem to indicate that liquids are susceptible to tumah. That is an issue, but for our purposes right now of understanding the Gemara, let's just focus in on the idea that according to a number of shitas, and Rabbi Eliezer seems to be one of them, liquid on a Torah level is not susceptible to tumah at all. And furthermore, he quotes Yossi ben Yoezer that in the Beis HaMikdash in the Azara, not only are liquids not susceptible to tumah on a daraisa level, not even on a derabanan level as well. Meaning that even though the rabbis stamped a tumah derabanan on liquids, but not in the Azara. As Aran over here explains, the reason is very simple. Because we don't want proliferation of tumah in the Azara.
What about
Ein Shuvos B'Mikdash?
No?
Huh? Ein Shuvos B'Mikdash, and here, it's even more than that. Meaning, we just simply don't want tumah in the Azara. Anything that becomes tumah in the Azara has to, by carbon, has to be destroyed, has to be burnt. It becomes a disqualified carbon. So therefore, the Chachamim gave an abeyance to their Gzeirah D'Rabbanan in the Azara. And now, Gemara says, look, I'm really confused. Rabbi Eliezer says that if I have suffik tumas mashkin, we're going to be machmer. To which the Gemara says, that's very confusing. Because we know that according to Rabbi Eliezer, mashkin only become tame on a derabbanan level. And we, on top of that, we also know that in the Azara, not even derabbanan, meaning a total abeyance of the rabbinic legislation. And so, at worst, according to Rabbi Eliezer, mashkin is only derabbanan. And now on a suffik derabanan, right, now Hedy, it hopefully will become a little bit clearer. On a suffik derabanan, now you're going to tell me that Rabbi Eliezer is going to be machmir? We're never machmir on a suffik derabanan. Now, to which the Gemara says, just one more piece of information. Now it happens to be that even within the statement that we just made of Yossi ben Yoezer, happens to be that Shmuel's opinion is that Mashkin is not Tame on a Daraisa level as it relates to transmitting Tumah to others. But the Mashkin themselves do become Tame on a Daraisa level according to Shmuel. So the Gemara says, if you subscribe to Shmuel's viewpoint, so then that actually works out fine. Because according to Shmuel, even within the opinion of Yossi ben Yoezer, the Mashkin themselves become Tame. So fine. But the Gemara says, but that's Shmuel's viewpoint. But Rav doesn't subscribe to that viewpoint. Rav says that Tumas Mashkin does not become Tameh at all. Not it itself, and certainly it does not transmit it to others on a Torah level. So now, the only thing Tumas Mashkin is Tameh Midurabanan. And so now, let's just reset the question. So now it comes out that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Tumas Mashkin is only a Din Durabanan. And on a Safek, he's going to be Machmir? Very hard to imagine. So, Rav is an Amor, Rav Elazar Zatana. Rav is explaining, he's not necessarily agreeing, but he's explaining the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And that is that Tumas Mashkin is not Tamid Araisa. And in the Azara, meaning a total abeyance of this law, and meaning that it's not Tameh at all, meaning not Daraisa, not Darabanan. And so now it just begs the Gemara to wonder, so how can you have a Shita within Rabbi Eliezer who says that on a Suffolk we're going to be, we're going to be Machmer. Okay, so all this becomes really a bit of a struggle, and so now basically the Gemara is, as much as it wanted to defend the opinion of Rabbi Zera, the Gemara really struggles in doing so. So again, we have our Mishnah in the Darim that says Stam Nedarim Lahachmir. We have the Mishnah in Taharus that says Stam Nezirus Lahakel. We had Rabbi Zera's suggestion, which was the opinion in the Mishnah in Taharos is really the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. But the Gemara says, but really that's a struggle in order to defend that position. So now, excuse me. So now let's go on. Michael Amemar, question mark, meaning we're gonna move on to another approach. And so we're going to go back to square one. We're going to try to resolve the discrepancy between the Mishnah Nedarim of Stam Nedarim La'achmer and the Mishnah Taharos of Safik Nezirus La'akel. Elaha Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon D'Tanya. So the Gemara says, really it's reflective of another Machlokas Tanayim, and that's the following. Hareini Nazrim Yesh B'Kri Hazeh Me'akor. Let's say the person does the following. Okay, the harvest came, and it was a great harvest. Looks like he gathered 100 kor. 100 kor, just an immense amount of grain. I don't know how much that translates to in modern volume, but nevertheless, it's a lot. And he looks at his granary, and he says, oh, this is amazing. You know what? Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm so appreciative. If I have 100 kor there, I'm going to be a nazir. At this juncture, he doesn't know how much is there. But he makes the following declaration. I'll be a Nazir if there's 100 kor there. Hareini Nazrim Yesh B'Kri Hazeh Me'akor. V'halach U'matzo. Now, he goes to his granary, and he's so excited. And what happens? Some of it got lost, or some of it got stolen. Or it all got lost or stolen. And so now, it was there, it's no longer there. I'm sorry. So Rabbi Yehuda Mati Rabbi Shimon Oser. Is he a Nazir? Okay, now, there are two Shitas. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he's not. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, yeah, he is. And these two Shitas are now reflective of what? So let's start off with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, he's not a Nazir. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to the Mishnah in Taharos. Right, the Mishnah Torah says that if we have Suffolk Nazirus, so we're going to be Mako. Here, it's a strange case of Suffolk, but it's a case of Suffolk. He says that he declared himself to be a Nazir, but only if there was 100 kor. And now, we simply don't know whether there was or wasn't. It was stolen. But there may have been. We don't know. So Rav Yossi is the opinion. Sorry. Rabbi Yehuda is the opinion of that Mishnah Taharos of Suffolk Nazirus that we're going to be Mekel. Okay, good. And Masha Enkin, what does Rabbi Shimon say? Rabbi Shimon says, no, you're a Nazir. Why? Because Rabbi Shimon subscribes to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Stam Nedarim Lahachmir, that if you make a Neder, and again, it's an ambiguous point of, it's an ambiguous initial point, you're nevertheless, the Neder is still Chal. And so this person who declared to be a Nazir if there was 100 kor, and we don't know whether there was or there wasn't, so he's going to be Machmer.
What is the difference between the other Tanai, the Nether Tanai? conditional.
Good.
So what's the difference between?
There's no difference. It's just that right now we don't know whether the condition was satisfied. So it's a suffix. So good. So right now this is a second suggestion within the Gemara. It's anonymous. It, by the way, just as a point of interest. So the Gemara doesn't attribute who made this suggestion. Either way. So that's what we have right now. Virami, the Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says, okay, but here's the problem, and that is we have a contradiction within the Ashitas of Rav Yehuda. Mi amar Rav Yehuda lo ma'ilin nafshilas feka v'riminu. The Gemara says, look, within Shita Rav Yehuda, we're making the argument that Rav Yehuda does not put himself in a state of suffix. Meaning it's clear with the case of the granary, where he went back to his granary, checking to see whether there was 100 kor. It was stolen. We don't know. So Rav Yehuda says he's not a nazir. And we said that that's reflective of the opinion of the Mishnah Taros. On the other hand, we know that Rav Yehuda is going to be machmir by suffix. How do we know that? Based on a Mishnah. Where's this Mishnah? Oddly enough, it's in Nedarim on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. Meaning, our very Mishnah tells us otherwise within the opinion of Rav Yehuda. What do we learn at the end of yesterday's daf? At the end of the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda omer stam truma b'Yehuda asura. Let's say this cake in front of me is like truma. Now, when you said the word truma, what did you mean? Could be one of two things. Like we said yesterday. It could mean truma salishka. Truma salishka, so that is a davar hanador. Meaning the money that's going to be used to buy karbanos, so that money wasn't consecrated, it now becomes consecrated. If I compare this piece of cake to that, so that's a successful neder. If, on the other hand, I meant truma in the sense of trumas kohen, trumas agoren, that's not a davar ha-nadur. That's a davar ha-asur, like we've said already a number of times throughout the Masechta. And therefore, that neder is not going to be a neder. You weren't clear. You just simply said the word truma. So what did Rabbi Huda teach us yesterday? That if here, this is going to be a regional issue. If you live in Yehuda, it's asur. Yehuda meaning within proximity of Yerushalayim, it's going to be Aser. Uvegala muteres. However, if you live up north, it's going to be Mutter. Why? And this is the important part as it relates to our discussion. Shein anshe hagala makir nistrumas alishka. Because when you live in the north, so you're not living within proximity of Yerushalayim. And when you say truma, and you're living up in the north, you really only mean one thing. And that is trumas gorin. Trumas alishka, you don't talk that way. People around you don't talk that way. So you only meant trumas agorin. So there's no suffix. So, but what does that mean? It means that had it been a suffix, then he would have been machmer. And the Gemara makes that diuk right now. Time of day in makirin. So it's pretty clear that the reason is because in makirin. Meaning, it's because there's no suffix. Hamakirin asurin, which means that according to Rav Yehuda, if you said the word truma, and there was an ambiguity within your statement, and it was not clear whether you meant truma salishka or truma sagarin, so we're gonna be machmir. Wow, that becomes now a serious problem. Because we wanted to resolve the discrepancy of the Mishnayos of Nedarim and Taharos by saying the Mishnah and Taharos reflects the opinion of Rav Yehuda, and meanwhile, our very own Mishnah in the Nedarim, citing the opinion of Rav Yehuda as it relates to Truma, so the Mishnah doesn't say it, but it's a pretty good diuk, that had it been a case of Suffolk, Rav Yehuda would have been Machmir. That's a problem. Amar Rava, so Rava says, maybe not. Maybe we could still defend this approach. Gabe kriks kasav kosher sveka chamer mivadai lo ma'al nafshei l'sveka. De'ilu gabe nazir vadai megalech u'mevi karban v'nechal. So Rava says like this. Look, when it comes to general nedarim, so Rav Yehuda is going to be machmer on a case of suffix. So if he made an ambiguous reference, and it could have been either a valid neder or not a valid neder, so generally speaking, Rav Yehuda is going to say, you know what, we're going to be machmer. But that Mishnah in Taharos, if you read it again and read it carefully, and you don't have to, it's only three words of the Mishnah, the Mishnah says suffix nizirus lahakel. And maybe we can make the following suggestion. There's nothing worse in this world. I mean, I don't know, nothing, I'm being a little dramatic. There's nothing worse in this world than being a suffix nazir. Being a suffix nazir is so much worse than being an actual nazir. Why? Because when you're an actual nazir, so life is great. You'll serve your term, however long it is. You'll bring your karbanos, and you'll resume regular life. Okay, you chose to live an ascetic life for 30 days or longer, but fine. There's a term. We'll get to the end, and then you'll bring your karbanos and fine. If you're a suffic nazir, now what? You're in trouble.
How did you become suffic?
You made one of these declarative statements were ambiguous, and it wasn't clear, like the case of the creed, like the case of the granary. You attach your naziris to whether or not there's going to be 100 core, and now you don't know. So now this it's the worst. Why? Because now you become a nazir with no resolution to your naziris. Because what are you going to do now? You're going to bring a karban, so we know, or if we don't, well, we're going to learn right now, every nazir at the conclusion of his naziris has to bring three karbanos. One of those three karbanos is a karban chatas. You can't bring a karban chatas to the Beis HaMikdash unless you're obligated to bring the karban chatas. This nazir, who may or may not be a nazir, and he's only now being a nazir out of safek, so good. So he'll observe his naziris, but he can't come to closure. He can't conclude his naziris.
I can cancel it. Go to
he can ask a she'ela. That he can do.
Yeah.
But in other words, we're talking about starting this to begin with. Is he ready to start it? Not if there's no conclusion, not if there's no closure. So Rava, in defense of now this opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, says, look, on regular Suffolk Nadarim, we're going to be Machmer. But not on Suffolk Naziris, because Suffolk Naziris is the worst. And nobody's interested in entering into Suffolk Naziris. So in other words, to put it in other terms, a person will be a Nazir and commit himself to Naziris only if he's Vade a Nazir. But if he's entering into Naziris as a Suffolk, no one's going to want to do that. And therefore, the ball never starts. The ball never starts rolling. The Gemara goes on to explain, maybe karban v'necha. I'll say galamatzim egalech. And oh, by the way, just take a look at the Ran on the bottom of the previous Amud, and I'm just paraphrasing. The Ran over there says that, you know, we know we're going to learn this when we get to Masechta Nazir. So we know that when it comes to a Nazir, you don't have to bring all three, meaning it's a mitzvah, obviously, to bring all three. But the termination of your Naziris really is effective with only bringing one of the three. So the Ran says, so why don't you just bring one karban, not the chatas. Bring the ola, bring the shlamim, and then... And then your nazir is there. The Ran says, of course, it doesn't work because that's only talking about bidyavid. But lichatchila, obviously, you have to bring all three. And if for any reason, here it would be because of suffolk. If for any reason you can't bring all three, so then there, even bringing one is not going to help you. So another layer to the discussion. Anyway, Amalei Rav Huna, back to the Gemara. We're on Yates Amud Beis, Amalei Rav Huna, towards the top of the Amud, about five lines down. Amalei Rav Huna, Bar Yehuda L'Rava, Amar Harayni Nazir Olamai. Okay, so interesting. So now I get it. So in defense of Rav Yehuda, we're saying that a person will never want to become a Suffolk Nazir, and the reason why is because Suffolk Nazir is the worst. It's worse to be a Suffolk Nazir than to be a absolute Nazir, because at least with an absolute Nazir, there is a conclusion to his Naziris. By Suffolk, there is no conclusion. Good. What if the person says Nazir Olam? We're going to learn, again, foreshadowing what we're learning together when we get to Masechta Nazir. We're going to learn that there basically are three types of Naziris. One, a nazir of term, the most normal nazir, 30 days or whatever the term is he sets into motion. Two, nazir olam. Nazir olam means I'm going to be a nazir for the rest of my life. Okay? And three, nazir shimshon. Now, nazir shimshon is a highly unusual nazirus where you're a nazir from birth to death. And that wasn't a you decision, that was a decision that was made by others. Okay. Notably a Navi, by the way. But either way. But let's say you declare yourself to be a Nazir Olam. So here, in the case of Nazir Olam, what difference does it make whether it's Vadi or Suffolk? It's basically the same, right? Meaning, if it's a Vadi, so when does it come to a conclusion? The answer is when you leave this earth. So by a Suffolk, same thing. So what if it's Nazir Olam? Would Rav Yehuda also tell us that by a suffolk we're going to be mako? I couldn't see why he would say that. So my amalei nazir olam nami sfeko chamor mivadai. So the Gemara says, no, even by nazir olam, oddly enough, suffolk is worse. Why? Because the ilavadai ichbet sarah mako bataro mevi shalosh behemos. Because even as a nazir olam, you can get a haircut. What you'll do as a Nazir Olam is if your hair is getting totally out of control, totally unruly, so you can get a haircut, which was a violation of Naziris, but it wasn't, because a Nazir Olam, you do have this option, and then you'll bring three karbanos in. I'd say you start counting again, but you're not really counting. Right, in other words, and then you just resume. So the ilus fake a low. However, if you're a safek, you're not afforded this option. Okay, because you can't, because again, it comes back to the idea that you can't bring the karbanos, because you may or may not be a nazir. And you can't bring a carbon if you're not a nazir. You can't bring a carbon chatos. So the Gemara says, ilus fake a low amar. Okay, so the Gemara says, so even by nazir olam, it's worse to be a safek than it is to be a vadai. And the Gemara says, Hareini Nazir Shimshon Mai. Okay, but what if someone says Nazir Shimshon? Now, Nazir Shimshon, you don't have the option for a haircut. Not even the occasional haircut. Nazir Shimshon?
What does Nazir Shimshon mean? If Nazir Shimshon was imposed by somebody, he's choosing it himself. How could it be?
Right. So, essentially, well, just one second. So Hareini Nazir Shimshon Mai. I'm really Nazir Shimshon Lotanya. So, which the Gemara says, okay, Nazir Shimshon is so unusual. That's not what the Braisa was discussing. The Braisa wasn't talking about Nazir Shimshon. It's not a quote-unquote standard or regular Naziris. It's not one that you choose. It's one that others choose for you. That's not including that Braisa. Amalei v'amar Rav Ada Barava Tanya Nazir Shimshon. Oh, really? It's not part of the Braisa? Rav Ada Barava, he had this Braisa, and in his version of the Braisa, included in this version was Nazir Shimshon. So Amalei Tanya Tanya. So the Gemara says, okay, at that point in time now, I don't know what to tell you. Nazir Shimshon is included in that Braisa. So, and by Nazir Shimshon, there's certainly no difference between Safek versus Vadai. And again, Hedy, this part now becomes strange. Like, how do you even enter into this arrangement of Nazir Shimshon in this case? Okay, all right, fine. Anyway, it is strange, but
saying Nazir Shimshon, what is the difference from saying regular Nazir and Nazir Shimshon?
Nazir Shimshon means that you're going to be a Nazir like Shimshon was a Nazir for the rest of your life.
What's the difference between that and the Olam?
So Nazir, the only difference right now, to the best of my knowledge, is haircut. By Nazir Olam, you're afforded the opportunity to give a haircut. All right? And Nazir Shimshon, that's it. You let it go. Okay. Rav Ashi Amar, and finally, third approach of the Gemara. Mishnah Nedarim says, Safek Nedarim Lahachmir. Mishnah Tahara says, Safek Nazirus Lahakel. We have now, so far, this morning, covered the opinions of Rabbi Zera. Gave his approach, Machlokas Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Another suggestion of the Gemara, anonymous. It's a Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about Safek. So the case of the Kor, Mea Kor. And now, the third approach of the Gemara belongs to Rav Ashi. Right? Yeah, if you want to try to line it up, yeah, it would line up that way. And then finally, the last approach of the Gemara is Rav Ashi. And by the way, it's really a historical issue, but Rav Ashi always gets the last word. But part of the reason why he gets the last word is because he's one of the last of the Amoraim. Okay. So, it gives him that opportunity. Right? And every machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban, so the Ramban always gets the last word. But, huh? No, I'm saying in the Amoraim, Rav Ashi.
Ramban.
He always gets the last word.
Really?
Well, because right, the Rambam was. Yeah, I'm saying if the Rambam were there, he wouldn't let the Ramban get the last word. So anyway, so Rav Ashi always gets the last word on these issues. Hi, Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Tarfon. He did Tanya. So the Gemara says that look. As it relates to the Mishnah Taharos that says that Stam Nazirus Lahakel, do you know why Stam Nazirus Lahakel? Because that Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda, who quotes the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. Just trying not to be confusing. This is not Rabbi Yehuda Shita. It's Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rabbi Tarfon. So really, it's Rabbi Tarfon Shita. And parenthetically, okay, anyway, it's Rabbi Tarfon Shita, and that is as follows. Rabbi Tarfon is Rabbi Kiva.
Right,
same generation as Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Tarfon Omer, in Echa Mehem Nazal, Efishlo Nidna Nazirus Alalafla. Okay, this is a case that we're going to see time and again. This opinion of Rabbi Tarfon, we're going to see time and again. It comes up over and over throughout Shas. You can look in the sign of the Gemara, it comes up in Nazir, a bunch of places. Okay, fine. Anyway, and that's the following. Guy comes walking down the street. So you and I look at this guy walking down the street. Oh, you know what? He's a Nazir. And the other one says, no, he's not a Nazir. He's just a hippie. And we're having a funny discussion, a funny debate about whether this person's a Nazir or not a Nazir. And what do we do? We make a bet. You know what? If I'm right, I'm going to become a Nazir. And the other one says, well, if I'm right, I'm going to become a Nazir. Or however which way it works. Now, one of us is going to be right. He's either a Nazir or he's a hippie. I mean, it could be he's both. But in other words, he's either a Nazir or he's not a Nazir. So one of us is going to be right. And so when he comes and he's going to clarify which one of us is right, so you would say, okay. In other words, and now you're saying whoever connected made his Nazir's contingency on the outcome, so he's going to be a Nazir. Rabbi Tarfon says no. Rabbi Tarfon says that an only way a person becomes a Nazir is from the point of declaration he knew all the information. If he did not know all the information at the point of declaration, even if it's discovered at a later point in time that he was right, it doesn't matter. You don't become a Nazir that way.
So it's going to knock out that second kid with the granary.
Yeah.
Okay. Say, right. Yes. The answer to that is yes.
What's this question?
Wait. I'll include everybody in it. Let's go to the Gemara. So the Gemara says good. So that's the Mishnah in Taharos, Suffing Naziris Lahakel. That Mishnah in Taharos is reflective of this viewpoint of Rebbe Tarfon. So I hachi my irya shenignavo sha'avad elalo. I'm sorry, shenignavo sha'avad. So now the Gemara says, okay, let's go back to the case of the Mea Kor. The person comes home from the granary and says, I'm so excited. If there's 100 kor within the granary, I'm going to become a Nazir. And then what happens? He gets there, and it was lost or stolen. The Gemara says, can I tell you something? Even if it wasn't lost or stolen, he's not going to be a Nazir. He didn't know at the time of his declaration whether there was or there wasn't. And he was only going to be a Nazir if it had 100 kor. But that's only a point of information that he's going to discover later. So, that's not Nazirus. And it bothers the Gemara. Why would the Braisa have to give an example of it was lost or it was stolen? Even if it wasn't lost or stolen, if Rabbi Yehuda is reflecting the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon, so shouldn't that now mean he's not going to be a Nazir? Even if he does get to the granary, and even if all the grain is there, and even if it does count up to 100 kor, he's still not going to be a Nazir. Gemara says that's a great point. It's a great point, but you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. The reason why the Braisa said that is to get us to demonstrate how strongly Rabbi Shimon argues with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, I argue with you and I really argue with you. Even if we don't know how much was in the granary, and even if it was lost or stolen, he's still going to be a Nazir. Okay, that is the Gemara's conclusion. Now, by the way, just in this particular regard, yes. I don't know. I can't answer that question. I mean, I could, but I don't have a good answer. So just one second. So what comes out now from this Gemara is something very interesting. The Ron points this out, and just going to highlight the Ron, and that is the following. We have a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding this guy who comes home from the granary. The guy came home from the granary, and what? And he says, I'm going to be a Nazir if there's 100 kor, and it was lost or was stolen. And the Gemara says, you know, we are highlighting... According to Rav Yehuda, I don't really even need it to be lost or stolen. Even if it's not lost or stolen, he's not going to be a Nazir. And the Gemara says, why did the Braisa give me the case of lost and stolen? To highlight the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. Generally speaking, I have two shitas. One being Mekel and the other one being Machmer. Rav Yehuda obviously here being Mekel. Rabbi Shimon being Machmer. Whenever we want to highlight somebody's viewpoint, Koach Dehetera Adif. Generally speaking, we always like to show off the position which is Mekel, not the position which is Machmir. And so the Ron is bothered over here. You know, it's funny. We have a Braisa, and whose position is the Braisa showing off? Showing off Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint. That's not normally what we do. We normally show off the makel position, not the machmer position. And by the way, Rashi, back in Masechta Beitza, so he explains, why do we like showing off the makel position? Because Rashi says, anyone could be machmer. I mean, it doesn't take much to be machmer. Being machmer just simply means, I don't know, and so we'll be machmer. But if somebody's makel, it means that he's absolutely confident within his position, and he's so confident within his position that, in other words, he's going to be makel. So over here, why are we highlighting Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint? Why shouldn't we be highlighting Rabbi Yehuda's viewpoint? But Rashi, I'm sorry, the Ran over here points out, but over here that's not really relevant. Because what is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? That you don't become a Nazir if you don't have all the information at your disposal at the time of declaration. Period. What is Rabbi Shimon's, however, contrasting viewpoint is, Rabbi Shimon really argues on two issues. Number one, the Ran says, he argues on that very premise. According to Rabbi Shimon, no. If you become a Nazir, based on information that we're only going to find out later, you're going to become a Nazir. And a second point, it's not really highlighting Rabbi Shimon's machmir position, it's actually making a second and separate point, which is that even if we don't find out the information later, meaning even if we can't find out the information later, you're still going to be, you're going to have to be a Nazir based on the rule of Safek Nedarim LaHachmir. So it's actually two separate points that Rabbi Shimon's arguing with. Number one, you don't need all the information at your disposal at the time of the declaration. Number two, even if I can't find out all the information later on, I'm still going to be a Nazir, according to Rabbi Shimon. So the Ran says, that's why over here we're highlighting Rabbi Shimon, because there actually are two separate points being made.
Could this be that the king of a Nazir is an exception and it's a chidush because of that they're like...
Well, that was the second approach of the Gemara, meaning that fits into approach number two. Okay, before we finish, before we wrap up today's daf, so let's just quickly summarize. We have a Mishnah and Dharm, we have a Mishnah and Taharas. Mishnah and Dharm says, Safik Nadarim Lahakmer. The Mishnah and Taharas says, Safik Nadarim, sorry, Safik Nazirus Lahakko. Gemara gave three different ways to resolve this discrepancy. One, Machlokus Rebbe Laz and the Chachamim. Two, Machlokus between Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Shimon. Three, the Mishnah and Taharas is reflective of the viewpoint of Rebbe Tarfon. Those are the three positions. The Ran over here writes that in terms of the basic conclusion, the halacha falls like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, and the Ran says we go like our Mishnah. Just quickly finishing up the daf, so that tomorrow we'll start fresh from the from Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. So the Gemara, we're going to be Machmer. Yes. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Stam Chuma Yehuda Amakir Nasurin. Okay, so what did Rabbi Yehuda teach us in the Mishnah? That if you are, say the word Truma, and geographically you live up north, no one knows about Truma Salishka. So you only meant one thing, you only meant Truma Sagorin. Fine. If it's a Safek, I mean, we made this point already, but we're setting ourselves up. If it's a Safek, if it's really ambiguous, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be Machmer. Amas Fek Alechumra. Fine. We also learned yesterday in the Mishnah that if you live up north, Kohanim generally did not live up north. And you say the word Cherem. Now Cherem is ambiguous. Cherem can either mean Cherem Kohanim, which is just simply, I'm giving it to the Kohen, or Cherem can mean Cherem Beis HaMikdash, which means it's imbued with Kedusha. So, up north, there are no Kohanim. Cherem there only means one thing. So which the Gemara now points out, Hamakirim Mutarim. But that means, however, that if there was an ambiguity, so we would be Mekel. So the Gemara says, so now, a basic discrepancy between the ambiguous reference of Truma and the ambiguous reference of Cherem. So Amas Fekel Akula. So Amar Abaye, say for Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Tzadok, he did tell you Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Stam Truma Yehuda Asur, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Stam Charam in Begalal Asurim. So the Gemara says, it's not an elegant answer, but the Gemara says, okay, it's a Machlokas. It's a Machlokas Tanayim, whether or not we are, when you say Stam Cherem, whether or not we're going to be Machmer, we're going to be Mekel. And basically the Gemara says, you're right. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to be Machmer in both cases. And Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok disagrees. Okay. Icon that takes us to the end of today's daf. And tomorrow, pick it up from the Mishnah on Chaf Amud Aleph.